This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough. Welcome to Mission Breakthrough. Today we are looking at Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 20. That is the armour of God. In the fall of 1871, when Moody was speaking in Brooklyn, his congregation dropped to 18. Moody despised failure, and when one night after the service was over, some unnamed woman quietly said to him, "We have plenty of preaching in Brooklyn, but if you will tell us something about the Bible, it will be blessed to us." That broke his unfruitful methods forever. The next afternoon he gave a simple Bible reading, and the ravishing, sweet fires of God at once came down. He had a heart for nothing now but the glory of the Word. One November night of that year, he was 34 then, he walked to the streets of New York sobbing, "Oh God, why don't you compel me to walk close to you always? Deliver me from myself. Take absolute sway. Give me your Holy Spirit." So mightily did the Spirit of God come upon him that he had to rush to the home of a nearby friend and ask for a room where he could be alone. where there followed hours of which it is unlawful to speak, and he seldom did. Yes, the secret of Moody's power was, first of all, coming to God and giving himself utterly to him. And secondly, to keep in step with him by prayer. Today, though, there is another aspect that we're going to be looking at today, and that is the armour of God. Moody needed the armour of God too, so that when he was attacked by either by other people, that is their words, or whether it be evil spirits who come and attack and bring wrong thoughts to our minds, he was able to have this armour, the armour of God, which we find about in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. And this is what it says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the armour of God so that you may be able to stand against the devices of the enemy. It is not with blood and flesh you have to wrestle, but against powers and against authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against malicious spiritual forces in the heavenly places. Because of this, you must take the armour of God, that you may be able to stand against them in the evil day, and that you may be able to stand fast. After you have done all these things which are your duty, stand with truth as a belt about your waist. Put on righteousness as a breastplate. Have your feet shod with readiness to preach the gospel of peace. In all things, take faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to quench the flaming darts of the evil one. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Keep praying in the Spirit at every crisis, with every kind of prayer and entreaty to God. To that end, be sleepless in your persevering prayer for all God's consecrated people. Pray for me that I may be allowed to speak with open mouth and boldly to make known the secret of the gospel, for which I am an envoy in a chain. Pray that I may have freedom to declare it as I ought to speak. As Paul takes leave of his people, he thinks of the greatness of the struggle which lies before them. Undoubtedly, life was much more terrifying for the ancient people than it is for us today. They believed implicitly in evil spirits who filled the air and were determined to work men harm. The words which Paul uses, powers, authorities, world rulers, are all names of different classes of these evil spirits. To him, the whole universe was a battleground. The Christian had not only to contend with the attacks of men, he had to contend with the attacks of spiritual forces which were fighting against God. Of course, it is the same today. We may not take Paul's actual language literally, but our experience will tell us that there is an active power of evil in the world. Robert Louis Stevenson once said, "You know the Caledonian railway station in Edinburgh? One cold east windy morning, I met Satan there." We do not know what actually befell Stevenson, but we recognize the experience. We have all felt the force of that evil influence which seeks to make us sin. Paul suddenly sees a picture made ready-made. All this time he was chained by the wrist to a Roman soldier. Night and day a soldier was there to ensure that he would not escape. Paul was literally an envoy in a chain. Now, he was the kind of man who could get alongside anyone. and beyond doubt he had talked often to the soldiers who were compelled to be so near him. As he writes, the soldier's armour suggests a picture to him. The Christian too has his armour, and part by part Paul takes the armour of the Roman soldier and translates it into Christian terms. There is a belt of truth. It was the belt which girt in the soldier's tunic, and from which his sword hung, and which gave him freedom of movement. Others may guess and grope. The Christian moves freely and quickly because he knows the truth. There is the breastplate of righteousness. When a man is clothed in righteousness, he is impregnable. Words are no defence against accusations, but a good life is. Once a man accused Plato of certain crimes. Well then, said Plato, we must live in such a way as to prove that his accusations are a lie. The only way to meet the accusations against Christianity is to show how good a Christian can be. And then there are the sandals. Sandals were the sign of one equipped and ready to move. The sign of the Christian is that he is eager to be on the way to share the gospel with others who have not heard it. There is the shield. The word Paul uses is not that for the comparatively small round shield. It is that for the great oblong shield which the heavily armed warrior wore. One of the most dangerous weapons in ancient warfare was the fiery dart. It was a dart tipped with tow, dipped in pitch. The pitch-soaked tow was set alight and the dart was thrown. The great oblong shield was made of two sections of wood glued together. And when the shield was presented to the dart sank into the wood and the flame was put out. Now faith can deal with the darts of temptation. With Paul, faith is always complete, trust in Jesus Christ. And when we walk close with Jesus Christ, we are safe from temptation. There is salvation for a helmet. Salvation is not something which looks back only. The salvation which is in Christ gives us forgiveness for the sins of the past and strength to conquer sin in the days to come. There is the sword, and the sword is the Word of God. The Word of God is at once our weapon of defence against sin and our weapon of attack against the sins of the world. Cromwell's Ironsides fought with a sword in one hand and a Bible in the other. We can never win God's battles without God's book and knowing God's scripture. Finally, Paul comes to the greatest weapon of all, and that is prayer. We note three things that he says about prayer. It must be constant. Our tendency is so often to pray only in the great crises of life, but it is from daily prayer that the Christian will find daily strength. It must be intense. Limp prayer can never got a man anywhere. And prayer demands a concentration of every faculty upon God. It must be unselfish. The Jews had a saying, let a man unite himself with the community in his prayers. I think that often our prayers are too much for ourselves and too little for others. We must learn to pray as much for others and with others as for ourselves. And finally, Paul asks for the prayers of his friends for himself. And he asks not for comfort or for peace, but that he may yet be allowed to proclaim God's secret, that his love is for all men. And we do well to remember that every Christian leader and every Christian preacher needs his people to uphold his hands in prayer. Today, we've been looking at the armor that God wants us to put on. Many of us at times have found that we do need that armor. In fact, we need it constantly. The problem is that many people keep some of it off. For instance, they don't know the Word of God. That is one of the things which gives a Christian power. If you begin to learn by memory the Word of God, when temptation comes, you too can quote the Word of God. And you know, the Holy Spirit will come upon God's Word. And even as you speak the Word, things will begin to happen. Things will begin to change. The enemy will have to flee from you. Sometimes today, because we're in a modern age, we don't realize that the forces are there that will come against us. And yet, I've seen people come down the front, and in fact have prayed for some. And the point is that these people were bound up by demon power, and yet we commanded them in the name of Jesus Christ, and they left, and that person went free. Perhaps you are having that problem. You need to go to a church which believes in casting out any evil spirit which has had sway over you for some time. But perhaps there are other people who are listening to me today and who have never come and invited Jesus Christ into their life. Today, I would like to pray a prayer, and you can follow that prayer by praying it for yourself. And if indeed you believe that you have sinned, that you want to repent from your sin and turn to the living God through Jesus Christ, you too can invite Jesus into your life. You too can put your trust in the fact that Jesus not only died, but that he rose again and that he is alive today. And he will give you eternal life. I found that he is the only person who can do that. So today, if you wish to invite Christ into your life, please pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me upon the cross. I believe that you rose again and are alive today. Please forgive me for the wrong things that I've done. I turn away from them now, Lord, and please help me to go on. Please give me your salvation. And please give me eternal life, life which goes on forever. I thank you for dying for me, Lord Jesus. I thank you for forgiving me for my sin. I thank you for coming into my heart and into my life as I put my trust in you. And I thank you for giving me eternal life, life which goes on forever. If you prayed that prayer today and put your trust in Jesus Christ, you too have become a Christian. And to start growing in Jesus Christ, by all means, find a good church to go to so that you can start fellowshipping with other men and women who know Jesus too. May the Lord bless you this day as we finish up our program today with another song.
So ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God.
May you continue from this day forth to stand on the promises of God. This is Murray Yates signing off for this month. May the Lord bless you all.